Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, or pull it up on your phone, Matthew chapter 7. And as you're turning there, we are 18 days away from Christmas, which means you're probably, like me, in the middle of doing Christmas shopping. Now, the key to Christmas shopping is, if you have someone in mind, you got to figure out, first of all, what do they want? Because you want to get them something they want, right? And then you've got to find the item, and then you've got to get your hands on the item. A couple years ago, when my nephew turned 10, I found the perfect item for Roman. It was the perfect gift. The problem was I had a hard time getting my hands on it. I mean, it was difficult. Well, it was a little something like this.
Well, it's Christmas time again. Decorations are hung by the fire.
Listen up, people. Answer your first question. Yes. The rumors are true. We have received a small quantity of the action figure known as Turbo Man. I am not going to ask you people to be quiet again. Do you hear me? Now, here's how things are going to work. You will form an orderly line so that an employee can hand you a numbered ball. These balls will then be drawn in a standard lottery fashion to see who gets a doll. If you're not one of the lucky few, we have plenty of Turbo Man's faithful pet tiger Booster in stock. And by the way, in accordance with the laws of supply and demand, the new list price on each figure just doubled.
So when I finally got my hands on that gift for my nephew, I did exactly that. I finally got it. Crazy time of year, right? The holidays, D-A-Z-E, right? How are we going to stay holy during the crazy holidays? Well, we are looking at the unto passages in the Bible. Last week, we talked about the great, beautiful passage in Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we talked about the divine gift of God Almighty in a human baby, that infant child. And we just talked about how keeping our focus on the baby, Jesus, will keep us holy this time of year. There's something beautiful and magnificent and precious and innocent about a baby. You can take the biggest burly biker guy, you know, foul-mouthed guy, and put a baby in his hands, and he will turn into mush. That's the power of a baby, and that's how God came to us. Today we want to look at another unto passage. that will help us stay holy during the holidays. Matthew chapter 7, and I'll read verses 1 through 12, with special attention on verse 12, with what we have come to know as the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. These are the words of Jesus. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you used, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, let me read that again. So in everything, Jesus said, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. The golden rule, that phrase isn't in the Bible, but it was the gold standard in ethics. If you want to summarize how to treat others, Jesus summed it up here perfectly. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it makes sense. If you want to be treated nicely, treat others nicely. You want others to be generous, especially towards you, you be generous. You want others to be kind, you be kind. You want others to be encouraging, then we ought to be encouraging. You want others to be compassionate, then we should take it upon ourselves to be compassionate. Do we want a loving community and a loving world? It begins with us. We should initiate being loving. Jesus taught this. And he says here, this sums up the law and the prophets. We've heard this before. Where else did Jesus teach this? Oh, the Shema. If you remember, we spent many weeks in the Shema. All of the law and prophets hinge on this. That we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Now, this passage here is interesting because we begin by reading in chapter 7, the first part of chapter 7, about judging. Jesus is condemning those who want to go around judging others, but they themselves don't want to be judged. And Jesus said, it's not going to work that way. If you want to be a judging person, then you had better be prepared for yourself to be judged. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you used, it will be measured to you. You see, we are quick to judge, and we are quick to make accusations, and we are quick to come to conclusions. But when it comes to us, we can't handle the truth, right? But Jesus showed us a different way. And he showed us how to be holy. If you want to turn to John chapter 13, this is a beautiful passage as Jesus not only taught this, but modeled this for us. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 12, Jesus was in the upper room and he had just finished washing his disciples' feet. Jesus had a basin filled with water, and he had a towel. And that's why I like to keep this up front and center for us as a reminder of who we are called to be. Really, the only tools in our arsenal that we should carry on a daily basis if we are striving to be as Jesus and to serve others is a basin and a towel. So Jesus had just washed his disciples' feet, and he says this, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." You see, Jesus didn't just teach this principle. He lived it out. He modeled it. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Now go down to verse 34 of John 13. John 13, 34. "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must also love one another. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And then in verse 35, Jesus says this, "If you do this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I guess the number one podcast in America is a guy named Joe Rogan. I don't know Joe Rogan. I've never listened to his podcast. But from what I understand, he's pretty influential. I mean, if you got the number one podcast in America and you got millions of people listening to you to the point where you can even persuade voters, you know, to vote one way or another, you know, he's a pretty influential guy. But the only reason his name caught my attention is because I read an article earlier this week that apparently he's been attending a church in Austin, Texas. He had not been a believer and didn't profess Christianity, but for several months now has been attending a church in Austin, Texas. And he told the reporter who was interviewing him, he said, "You know, Christianity fascinates me. And one of the things that's fascinating him about Christianity, he's noticed, is the way that Christians are treating each other." And to him, that speaks volumes. Jesus said here, "If you do this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." You see, when we live out the ethics of Jesus, we are living a holy life. And that will keep us grounded and on the straight and narrow and on the path that we are to be on, even during the holidays. I want to read you again a portion of this book, incredible book by Dr. D. James Kennedy, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? And in chapter 3 on compassion and mercy, he says this, "While poverty has always been a part of life on earth, the Church of Jesus Christ has done more, and often still does more, than any other institution in history to alleviate poverty. From Mother Teresa helping the destitute on the streets of Calcutta, to the Salvation Army providing shelter for a family whose home just went up in flames, the sun never sets on Christians, individually and corporately, meeting human needs in the name of Jesus. It was He, Jesus, who gave us the example in the first place and taught us to imitate Him." He says this, "The world before Christianity was like the Russian tundra, quite cold and inhospitable. Antiquity has left no trace of any organized charitable effort. But Jesus set the great example of helping the poor, of caring for the poverty-stricken and downtrodden. Jesus encouraged generosity towards the poor. And in some cases, he invited a few individuals to give all that they had to the poor. Throughout the ages, some Christians have felt the calling to do that, and they have experienced great joy. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. But here's the problem that we all must be absolutely mindfully aware of. In this passage here in Matthew, you know, Jesus talked about the plank in our own eye and the speck in other eyes. So he uses the eye as an example. But so here's the problem that we need to be aware of, that all of us must deal with. It's called the myopic issue, myopia. I'm nearsighted. And so I've got these glasses on, and I can see your beautiful faces. I take my glasses off, and you're all pretty fuzzy. Those of you up front, you're less fuzzy. Those of you in the back, I can't even tell who you are. You're pretty fuzzy. I see Santa Claus in the back waving his hand. That's really what I see. You see, the problem with myopia is that my vision is limited to me. Look at the word myopia. The first two letters, me. It's about me. My vision is limited to me, myself, and I. And if we live with myopia, we have a hard time seeing past ourselves towards the needs of others. If we stay too focused on myself, the do unto me part, that's not how Jesus called us to live. He called us to live with a vision beyond ourselves. And that helps us live a holy life. So either we're living holy or we're living solely. Holiness helps us see the other. Solely is exclusively focused on me, myself, and I. We've all seen those who are less fortunate in our area. And to be honest, this is just me. There are times that I become desensitized to the plight of those who are walking our streets, pushing a grocery cart filled with all their belongings. And I had seen a particular gentleman, and I still see him around town, very old, hunched over. He was here at the church. This was a couple years ago, and he was back here. And so I decided to engage him in conversation. I said, "Hi, my name is John." And he was very soft-spoken. Tried to have a conversation with him. I finally got his name out. His name is Don. Now, I don't remember much of what he said, but I at least remembered his name. And now every time I see him, I go, "That's Don. I have a name." And part of what I need to do to break out of my myopia is to do everything I can to put myself in Don's shoes. Because for all of us, we are just 2, 3, 4, 5 life-altering events away if it were not for the grace of God that we would be in his position. I see Don. I can call him by name now. I can help him as I'm able. But I try to put myself in his position. Have compassion for him. Have understanding. And to think of Don. And to do unto Don as I would have others do unto me. I will say I'm very proud of our church. I'm very proud of the way that you are fighting myopia. And let me give you just a couple of examples. And these are recent examples. I could go far back, but these are the most recent examples I can think of. The Stockings for Jesus. What a way to help us do unto others as we would want others to do for us if we were in that position. These Stockings for Jesus that you are collecting items for the less fortunate for, helping to cheer their spirits, to bless people this time of year. Thank you, Connie. Thank you, church, for doing your part in these Stockings for Jesus as we are seeking to do unto others. That's just one example. The other example are the angel tree gifts. You know, a couple weeks ago I presented to you the angel tree tags as we are partnering with the Salvation Army. And I'll admit, there was a part of me that was wondering, how many of these tags are we going to have left over, you know? That week, all of them were gone. You stepped up and said, I want to take a tag, and I want to get gifts for underprivileged children. You put me in my place, and I should not have wondered or questioned your generosity. You stepped up, you're bringing gifts, you are doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. A couple days ago, someone posted on our church Facebook site, hey, our family needs help, car battery died, and we just need help. And I got to tell you, I just sat back and watched how this church family rose to the occasion. And that Wednesday night, a couple hours later, I got a text from a couple saying, we are helping so-and-so get this battery. As I was reading that text, literally, as I was reading the text, I got a phone call from a dear person in our church saying, I want to help this person, this couple, with getting the car battery. And then just an hour later, I read that someone else had stepped up and said, I'm willing to take so-and-so to work. And my heart was deeply touched of, again, how church, you stepped up and helped, because you're living out the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And one other recent example, yesterday the ladies had their Christmas brunch, and it is exclusively for ladies, and because we've had guys in the past, certain guy threatened to do a Mrs. Doubtfire and just show up and crash the party, but I happened to be by the church, and I said, you know, I need to stop in and get a picture, because they don't often remember to take pictures of the event because there's a lot going on. And I walked in, and I thought the ladies were going to go, boo, get out of here. This is a ladies' event, you know. And I was shocked. I shouldn't say shocked. But you know what? Every one of those ladies said, hey, Pastor John, come on in. Not only that, they said, hey, go grab some food. Get a plate and join us. And I did, and it was wonderful. And you ladies, with open arms, welcomed me to your event. And I know, if it was anybody else off the streets who had walked in, you would have done the same thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Matthew Kelly has written a great little book called The Generosity Habit. It's a fantastic little book, came out just a few years ago. And he writes some things about the power of generosity. And you could look it up for yourself. Go home and Google the benefits of being a generous person. And there have been scientific studies that have shown the benefits of giving of yourself. It lowers stress. It lowers your cortisol levels. It builds your confidence. It gives you longevity in life. There are a host of benefits to living this way and giving of yourself, breaking out of our myopia. And then at the end of the book, he gives 101 suggestions how we can do this, how we can break out of our myopia and live a generous life. There's 101 reasons. And so to close us today, we're going to do a little interactive sermon give and take. And so someone just call out a number, and I'll turn to that number and I'll read it to you. So it's got to be a number between 1 and 101. Wait, what? You went first. What? 99. Reason 99. Choose unity. Isolation and separation are destroying us. Generosity chooses togetherness and unity. Seek the path that brings people together. In this unity, we will all rediscover the nobility of our humanity. I like that. Okay. 76. Reason 76. Who do you know needs a break? Everyone needs a break from time to time. But when we are amid life's daily pressures, we may not recognize that. Those around us will likely see it before we do. If you see that someone needs a break, and you can give them a break for 15 minutes, or an hour, or an afternoon, do that. It's amazing how even 15 minutes to catch our breath and collect our thoughts can make all the difference. Good one. Someone else. What was that?
100.
100. Let's go to 100. Oh, this is fun. Give someone an afternoon of carefree timelessness. Time together with no agenda. Yes. Number 5. Tip generously. Leave a tip that is twice as much as you usually give, or 3 times. One more. 18 and then 7. 18 and then 7. And then I'll share some of my favorites that I found here. 18. Support people who work on the front lines in any way. The armed forces, first responders, customer service personnel, medical personnel, and moms and dads. Go out of your way to make their lives just a little easier. Number 7. Teach. What is it that you know more about than anything else in the world? Whatever it is, don't belittle your expertise and don't keep it to yourself. Share it with the world. There is someone right now who needs you to teach them what you have spent a lifetime learning. Number 41 caught my attention. Learn CPR. Being prepared to help when the unexpected happens is an incredibly thoughtful way to be generous. Only 54% of Americans know CPR, and the American Heart Association estimates that up to 200,000 lives could be saved each year if CPR was performed early enough. Number 43, keep an extra umbrella in your car so that you can give it to someone who gets stuck in the rain. Number 45, we'll end with this one. Give someone their best Christmas ever. Food and gifts, a tree and decorations. Christmas is magical, but not everyone gets to experience the magic. You may not be able to change that for everyone, but you can probably change it for one person or family. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.